Hello, welcome to The Big Fight. Now, in addition to all the political ups and downs that we've been having all week long, a big question has actually been dominating the headlines, which has been the entire question of who decides what is history? And sometimes people say history is written by the victors. They are the ones who are writing the history, and they're also the ones who are erecting all the statues. So therefore, is there a time when you need to rewrite history and when you need to bring down statues? And obviously, we saw that happening after those elections in Tripura. Statues were brought down of Lenin, and a lot of people said, why should there be statues of Lenin in the first place? What has Lenin ever done for India one way or the other? But eventually, after much drama and much tension, the BJP leadership itself, Amit Shah, came in with this particular tweet saying that, you know, this is not something that should be done. You shouldn't be demolishing statues. So, okay, that parks the statue debate in one particular direction. But the question of rewriting history is still very much up there. And not least because a committee has been set up, a panel which is going to conduct what is being called a holistic study of evolution of 12,000 years of Indian culture. It's a multidisciplinary panel. It's supposed to be working on important findings of Indian history. And the findings of the panel are going to be included in school textbooks and in academic research. Now, what's this committee going to do? A lot of people are saying, is this a systematic effort now to rewrite textbooks and convert them from a slightly reddish tinge, which has been the historic accusation that it's a red version or a communist version of history, to a saffron view? Now, that's what people are saying. Mahesh Sharma, the culture minister, came out and said the following. The committee has no designs to rewrite textbooks, and I'm quoting him. That is not the mandate of this ministry. History is not rewritten. However, if there are gaps, it is our job to fill those gaps. This committee is filling the gaps created by earlier historians who laid emphasis on Western influences and sought to undermine the historicity of Indian culture. All right, lots to look at there. Should we be tearing down statues? Should we be rewriting histories? Should we be filling in gaps? And in some way, has Indian culture and history being wrongly taught to all of us all this time? And we have a great panel with very strong views on both sides who are going to come in on this in one form or the other. Deshratan Nigam is joining us. He's, you know, strongly espouses the RSS way of thinking. Aditya Mukherjee, noted historian, would disagree with a lot of what he has to say, may also disagree with what Francois Agathe has to say, and he's joining us now, writer and journalist. We also have Professor Sangeet Kumar Raghi joining us, one of those who believes that, you know, history has been slightly one-sided all this time and therefore needs to be rewritten a little bit. It's great to have Aarti with us, who can maybe bring some political perspective to all of this as well as to what is really being attempted here. One of the most noted historians of the country, Professor Irfan Habib, joining us, and it's a pleasure and a privilege to have you with us. And we have Pradeep Bhandari with us, founder Jan Ki Baat, spent a lot of time in Tripura. And actually, why don't I start off with you? You seemed to be smiling when those statues were coming down. Why were you so happy?
First of all, I was not happy, Vikram. Let's understand this. I do not...
Did the statues need to be pulled down in Tripura?
See, at the outset, nobody should take law in their own hands, and whether it is statue or anything. But there is a specific context to it. The principle behind this was it was a spontaneous act of certain group of private individuals who had suffered years of oppression, and this was a sense of...
So spontaneous that they organized a bulldozer and a JCB.
Absolutely, the same private individuals, the same private individuals.
It's almost as much spontaneity as there was in the Babri Masjid.
Let's understand this, Vikram. Wherever communism has gone, there has been spontaneous act of, to fight against this oppression by expressing. And this expression is also in form of resistance and is also in form of showing that there is oppression and you freely express yourself against this oppression. Let me tell you this.
I get the toppling of Lenin statues where communism has been in Eastern Europe, in Romania, in totalitarian states where statues of Lenin and Stalin were seen after the Iron Curtain came down and the Berlin Wall came down. Those were seen as symbols of totalitarianism. Not exactly the same picture in Tripura.
because they believed that the government which was ruling Tripura from past 20 years had provided no jobs, maximum poverty, and they could not express freely. That is point number one.
You could say that about just about any government in India for a long time.
Let's understand. This is a common trait wherever communist government has come down. Let me tell you, in 1978, Nirpen Chakravarti, the CPM person, he removed all the photos of Mahatma Gandhi and Subhash Chandra Bose from the offices. Somewhere in 1993, all the photos of Indira Gandhi removed from this. So this is something which is unique to Tripura.
So hang on, are we going to see this happening? Therefore,
at some point,
Yogi Adityanath is going to say, let's say lots of bulldozers will be required to bring down all of Mayawati statues.
Vikram,
I can't
this
even
is
think
not,
of how many.
This is not appropriated by any government. This is group of private individuals and Section 144 was imposed. Now, 14 people have been arrested and the 14 people are from CPM.
But it spread. It happened with Periyar statues.
Yes, so this is something which should not happen.
Which has another implication.
Absolutely.
From the BJP National Secretary put out a post on Facebook saying that Periyar statue should be brought down. He's an office bearer of the ruling
party. There is difference, ma'am. There is difference. That is something which should be condemned.
Professor Habib, let me get everyone else in on this. The basic concept that you're feeling oppressed, you're not happy with the way your government has functioned. Now I'm coming to the rewriting of history, because that's got broader and bigger implications. How do you interpret Indian history? How do you interpret Indian culture? I'll come to that point. But the statue point, right? It could spread, and we are seeing it spreading. After what happened in Tripura, they said, okay, let's deface Periyar statue, Mahatma Gandhi statue, Ambedkar statue. Where is it going to end up?
You see, I don't agree with what Pradeep just said. If you have been amidst oppressors and today you feel liberated that oppressors have gone, which means today you are actually demolishing statues, tomorrow you can actually go and kill those people who are oppressing you. No, there is no limit to it. For the colonized world, Lenin, Marx and all these left-wing ideologues actually were inspirations to fight against the colonial struggle. So they had their role in history, from Mandela to so many Indian leaders, including our own Bhagat Singh. So if we talk about Lenin this way, then India actually is not in the same place,
The flip side of that, why should there be a statue to Lenin in the first place? But then that argument could be made for anybody.
I will not say that put up Lenin statue. Somebody has done it. Okay. Let it remain where it is. What is the problem?
Professor Raghi, if you take global perspectives, yes, statues were brought down all across Eastern Europe. But in that liberation from oppression, we also saw what happened in other places where leaders were dragged out, brutally killed, tortured in some cases. Their bodies were displayed. And as Professor Habib is saying, that's certainly not the direction in which a democracy like India should go.
I completely agree with you, Vikram, that vandalism has no place in democracy at all. And therefore, this kind of activity should not be justified in any civilized society. Having said so, let us also remember that there is no need to elogize also the image of Lenin, because he was a tyrant, he was a despot. So he didn't inspire the Indian democracy at all. Third point, it was an outburst of the pent-up feeling of the people of Tripura. It didn't happen everywhere. You know that? Why it happened that, Vikram, that 55,000 political murders, I would call it political cannibalism, was executed in West Bengal. Why that the political murder is the culture of the state where the CPM has ruled? Whether it is Tripura, whether it is West Bengal, or whether it is Kerala. So you remember, wherever the government has changes, whether it is in Madhya Pradesh or in Rajasthan, or you go to any other places, this kind of thing never happened in past at all, or not happening even today. When Trinamool Party came to the power after defeating CPIM, then also, this kind of vandalism has taken place in West Bengal. The kind of culture, the kind of political culture that the CPM has created, now this is CPM is getting back.
You made dislike a political opponent, you may hate a political opponent, you may say that particular opponent has been guilty of X, Y, and Z. And I'm just trying to set, as always, some broader principles. It's not about the BJP or the CPM or any other party. When you look at power transition in Tripura, you can have statues being brought down, as happened in one case, or you can have this, which seems to be the exact opposite. Let me throw this to you. This was Ram Madhav on Twitter 2-3 days after all of this happened, saying the following. Called on former Chief Minister of Tripura, Sri Manik Sarkar, at the CPM office, invited him to the oath-taking ceremony of the new government tomorrow. True to his character, He has shifted to the party office immediately after resigning as chief minister post the election, something for leaders to emulate. Now, in our democracy, is this the sort of a, this is the BJP, Ram Madhav is as BJP or RSS as anybody could be. He's talking about Manik Sarkar for 20 years, the CPM leader of Tripura. This is the sort of a grace that ideally we should aspire to rather than attacking people, tearing down statues or reviling our political opponents.
Yeah, but that is the double speak of the RSS. They say one thing and do the opposite.
Surely you should congratulate him for that.
Of course,
I congratulate for that.
But then I will also point out what is simultaneously being done. What you just now heard, for example, Lenin being a tyrant, and what has he got to do with India, etc. You know, from Bhagat Singh to Jawaharlal Nehru to Subhash Bose thought Lenin was a great guy. Lenin had a tremendous impact on the Indian national movement in the 1920s and 30s. Lenin is not to be confused with Stalin, which is what is happening most of the time. And even Stalin, you know, the DMK leader calls himself Stalin. Tomorrow you will have a chief minister with the name of Stalin, and would you demolish his head because he's got a foreign name? The issue here is the intolerance. That's where I think, Vikram, you hit it on the head. The intolerance of something that you disagree with. And when it comes combined with nationalism, the idea is that this is foreign and therefore it is not acceptable. Now, this is not Indian nationalism. I mean, if you look at, nobody doubts that Gandhi was a nationalist. Who is he inspired by? Ruskin, Tolstoy. Who are his greatest friends and colleagues? C.F. Andrews. The Indian national movement has had a whole bunch of foreigners from Annie Besant to Wedderburn to Hume, and we have been able to absorb it. It is a foreign nationalism that these people subscribe to. A foreign nationalism that is the European nationalism, which was based on one religion, one language. Catholic France, Protestant England. You know, this is the European nationalism which ended up with Hitler's and Mussolini's. Our nationalism was completely different. Okay. It was open to everybody, did not think that, you know, it could absorb foreign views. In fact, not only nationalism, Indian civilization has grown from its ancient past because of its openness to the Greeks, to the Romans, to China, and that is
it's
how civilization grows.
It's an interesting point you make.
Kills
okay.
India.
It's an interesting point you want to make, and I'm going to come back to this when we're discussing what should be done with history books, which is, I think, a really important debate to have. But Professor Raghi, I just want to throw that point back to you before I come to the others. What Aditya Mukherjee just said, what has Lenin ever done for India? He referred to just a couple of examples, and it is true. Bhagat Singh, whom we all recognize as the major patriot, and one of the last things that he was doing before he was taken to the gallows was he was reading Lenin. So as a result of that, if you think about it, Lenin did inspire a lot of our freedom fighters.
I didn't deny that Lenin didn't inspire the Indian national movement. In the initial years of Indian national movement, certainly he inspired. But remember what happened, how many killings took place in Soviet Union? How many killings took place in, you know, this ideology perfected to in China? How many?
That was Stalin, you know, and that was Mao. It wasn't necessarily Lenin. I'm not going to get into a history.
Just a moment. Surely we should know our history before we start trying to rewrite our history. The extension of the same ideology.
The big difference between Lenin and Stalin. Lenin died during Lenin time,
Vikram, so many people killed who were
against Lenin. Yes, there was a civil war taking place in the Soviet Union. You know, I heard somebody on Twitter saying even Marx didn't like what Lenin was doing. Considering that Marx was dead when Lenin was 13 years old, you know, it was very difficult for Marx to have approved or disapproved of Lenin. So it's just, you know, sometimes I worry that when you're rewriting history, we should know history before we rewrite it. Okay, President Raghi, before I come back to you, Desh, you want to say something?
Demolish the ideology, not the statues. Once the ideology goes, the statues would automatically go out. Therefore, you should not.
No, so hang on.
You should not bother much
statues,
about this.
Leave the statues there.
And demolish the ideology. Okay. Once the ideology goes, as I said, the statues would automatically go. So don't concentrate much on statues. That's one thing which I want to point out. Second, about Leninism and Marxism. Lenin obviously believed in violent philosophy, using violence to topple the government. That was used by Stalin.
So did Bhagat Singh.
No, Bhagat Singh for
Subhash Chandra Bose.
So difference out here is, post-democracy, India becoming independent, and before becoming. That time it was justified because India was trying to throw the alien rule. The British rule.
Lenin was trying to, anyway, why we're getting into 1920 history.
No,
we are debating history.
See,
Lenin was also using violence in a time of civil war in the middle of the First World War.
So therefore,
fighting the White
Russians. Are you saying that a constitutional democracy should use the same violence when
it
is governed by rule of law? And also, let me tell you,
we're discussing Lenin versus Stalin. I don't know why we're discussing Lenin versus Stalin, but we are.
Just a minute.
And before we're discussing history, I feel compelled to try and correct history.
So we'll come to the history part afterwards. Let's concentrate on the statue. See, Tripura, as was rightly pointed out, was a spontaneous reaction. But whatever happened afterwards in all over India was sheer politics, which should not have been done. Periyar came into, Shyama Prasad Mukherjee came into the picture, then Ambedkar came into the picture. So that was, as you call it, Behti Ganga mein haath dhona. So that kind of thing should have been avoided and should have been strictly curbed.
Okay. Which, there's a reason why I have spent a happy 10 minutes delving into the history of the Russian Revolution and what happened after that. And Francois, let me get you on that note. The reason for that is, as we have just established in the last 10 minutes, you could disagree on facts. History is supposed to be facts, but you can disagree about it. You can start questioning whether Lenin was responsible for murders, or whether Stalin was responsible for murders, and whether Marx would have approved or disapproved of Lenin, and you can extend that as far as you want. So the problem comes when you start setting up a committee to look at 12,000 years of Indian history and culture and saying this is the definitive view of Indian history. Is can that even be done, Francois? And should it be done?
Well, you know, I'm a Frenchman, so Lenin, no doubt, was a great figure of history. He came at a time where there were tremendous inequalities, and there's no doubt that he had an idealism. Communism, which was pure in its beginning, which had a pure aspiration, became tremendously perverted. Not only that, communism has died all over the world. I mean, even in China. China is more a capitalistic society than, you know, a communist society today. So, and the only place in the world where communism is still alive is India. You know, I can only admire it, you know, that Indians have that sincerity, that they go to extremes, you know, and whereas communism is dead all over the world, it's still alive here.
You know, these may profess Marxism, Leninism, but in practice, they can't change the economic system, they can't change your financial system, they can't change your electoral democracy, they can't change your social system. So how is communism alive in India?
No, the party follows the ideology.
No, but they cannot impose the ideology anyway. Sorry, they have not been able to. They have not been able to.
There are no 11 political murders in Tripura in 1 year. That is intolerance.
You can extend that to Kerala as well.
And in Kerala, anywhere else. That is intolerance.
There is private property in Kerala.
What are you saying? 11 political murders is not intolerance. Political murders is not intolerance.
Do you even know what the philosophy of communism is?
I know that, ma'am. I know that. It's not about the philosophy. It's about the people.
And here you have Aarti wearing saffron telling him that red is better than saffron in this case.
I'm not saying red is better.
Okay, but okay. Hang on.
I'm only saying.
When we as a panel of experts and very noted historians out here, political analysts out here, when we on a show like this cannot completely agree about something that has been written about more than anything else, which is, you know, Lenin and Stalin and communism and what happened in the first part of the 20th century, widely documented. If we can't all agree on a panel like this on that, how are we ever going to come up with a definitive history of India over 13,000 years? That's the question I'm now throwing to all of you. And then we'll see
where we end
up. So hang on, one at a time. Francois, you want to answer that? Then I'm going to get everyone else's
vote. Back to rewriting Indian history, the first thing is that most of Indian history was written by the Britishers. And it was written by them as it suited them, to show them that they were a superior nation. Now, I'm also a Westerner, but I find that Indian history, as it is written, you know, shows a very backward and a very poor image of India. Secondly, you know, in 1947, Mr. Nehru chose, you know, the Marxist point of view. And that has tremendously influenced the history of this country. The history of India is still written from a Marxist point of view. And thirdly, Mrs. Gandhi in the 60s, in late 60s, made an alliance with the communists of India. And as a result, the communists have ruled over the culture and the history books and the universities and the journalist schools. And that is totally unfair, you know. So today the communists, you know, are shouting, you know, murder. But actually they have controlled, you know, the entire history of India, the entire curriculums in universities and school, and also, you know, even in journalism school. So there has to be a debate, you know. The communists always refuse the debate, you know. They keep crying for, you know, India is a country of statues, you know, that billion of statues. You know, it's, there's an overdose of statues in this country. How many statues of Gandhi are there in India? Millions and millions. And how many people practice what Gandhi preached? Not many, because Gandhi preaching which were impractical, you know, brahmacharya and, you know, and you know, kadis, you know, it's totally impractical today. So there's a hypocrisy also. Now, Lenin is dead, you know, the idealism of Lenin is dead. So the statue is brought down, so what? It's not a big deal, I think.
Well, okay, but just to correct you on a matter of historical, you know, insight, you kept describing yourself as a Westerner, as a Frenchman. In India, we have a history of assimilation, and Francois, we consider you Indian, so whether you like it or not, we're not considering you a Frenchman out here, so, you know, there you are.
Thank you. I'm married to an Indian, actually.
Sorry?
I'm married to an Indian for 30 years.
Yes, I know, and we've lived here often enough, so we consider you an Indian, so whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. And that...
I'm honored.
Yeah, Professor Raghi, that partly is the issue, isn't it? That one of the things, and let me just, not to put too fine a point on it, that's exactly the crux of why people are worrying about this committee. That the committee seems to be, and some of what we are hearing about in general, about in an effort to rewrite history, there's a particular view that we are now trying to say, you know, one country, yes, we've been, but it's one culture, one religion,
Bikram,
one language,
Bikram,
one thing. And that is also what the other historians would say, it's contrary to what the real history of India has been. Professor Raghi.
Those people who have monopolized the history writing in last 70 years, as previous speakers talked about it, remember the entire historiography has been monopolized by JNU, Aligarh School of Thought, and some professors from Delhi University. And this is the thought system who has been completely controlled by the comrades. And I have no hesitation in saying that this is the history that is taught in Indian universities as a part of the syllabi. And that is how they have controlled the mind. Remember, there is no objective history at all. Why China is digging up history up to the Neanderthal man? China is also trying to locate his history 12,000 back. Vikram, this is not the case in India. The world over, the people are trying to go back to their roots and they are trying to dig up their past. So here also, why the history writing should be monopolized by the left and that should be
monopolized by anybody,
generation. Remember what happened to the R... No. Just let me finish.
I'm just trying to counter that by saying it shouldn't be monopolized by anybody. History should be a question of fact.
This theory has been transmitted to the students and polluted the minds of the students.
Okay, I'm not a historian.
Polluted the minds of the students generation after generation. This theory has been reworked, and now what they talk about, that there has been a migration theory, not aggression theory. I'm not a historian, but what I can see in the syllabus, then they build the narratives which produces not Marxist intellectuals, but the Marxist activists.
Okay, hang on. I think I suspect he's talking about the two of you. So let me just come to both of you.
Agree with Raghi that there is no objective history possible. Of course, there is no objective history possible, because when you write history, the writer of the history or the interpreter of the facts actually brings in his own perspective, whatever it is. But history needs rigor. History is not pamphletary. History is not propaganda. History is not just ideology. No, history is more than that. So that rigor should be there. Whosoever, you have a right-wing perspective, you have a left-wing perspective, one can have a serious debate on that. That's a different issue. Second issue, which is again coming up again and again, which came up just now, the history of the whole issue of migration. India is not alone, which has actually grown as a civilization with migrations, with people coming from all over the world, with being porous. In terms of ideas, in terms of people, the whole world has grown like that. Civilizations have grown all over, Latin America to America to all, and it's happening even now. So it's not something very offending or insulting that people from outside came, ideas from outside came. We actually were enriched. We should be proud of it, that we had a multiplicity of civilizations and ideas and languages, and we grew because of that. So this is something which is being questioned today. This is a very, very... what should I say, a very paranoid view of history, to which I don't subscribe. Okay. I don't subscribe to Dr. Nair, Marxist history as well. But there are.
Look at what the facts are. Don't be doctrinaire about it. Let me get Aditya Mukherjee, and then I'm going to come to the others. Yeah,
Professor Mukherjee.
If JNU historians have acquired a position for themselves, it's not because they're Marxist or leftist. If the issue is whether you are writing good history or bad history, the kind of argument they are making that, you know, we'll rewrite the history of India 12,000 years, how the Aryans all came from India and spread out all over the world, etc., etc. Now, if you were to make a historical argument, we will argue with you. But if you are going to repeat what Golwalkar said, you know what Golwalkar said, their guru? He said that the Aryans, after Tilak said that Aryans came from the North Pole, and Golwalkar did not want to contradict Tilak, so he said the North Pole was actually in India. It was roughly where Bihar and Odisha is, and then it slowly zigzagged, zigzagged back into this position. This is in We Are Nationhood Defined. So this, that is not history. I don't want that kind of history to be
talking about. Golwalkar, Desh wants to contest that view of history.
It is doing violence to history, geography.
This is how they misinterpret history.
Did Golwalkar say that or not?
This is We Are Nationhood Defined. Let me come to that.
You should also quote here Ambedkar, that how Ambedkar counted Tilak on this Aryan invasion theory.
See, the fact is, Aryan invasion theory, which they are talking about, it was given by Max Müller that 1500 BC, this issue started. But today, the archaeological finds have predated that to 8,000 years, and we had a well-developed civilization. Recent archaeological finds have pushed it to 8,000 years back, having a well-developed civilization in India, which was a Vedic civilization. Now, this interpretation, I compliment Professor Irfan Habib of actually admitting that it is the interpretation of the historian and his own likes and dislikes come into writing history. Yeah. That is what has happened in all these 70 years, which is a very frank admission by the leftists.
But I added something more to it.
Nani, please, hold on. Hold on.
He said you shouldn't do it the other way just to prove a point.
Therefore,
you shouldn't bring down statues, you shouldn't rewrite history just to prove a political point.
Therefore, what I am saying is supported by archaeological finds. It has to be based on, it has to be unbiased, and truth must prevail. That is what was hidden in all these 70 years.
Okay. So the problem, I guess, which is coming, it was wrong if it happened earlier, it's wrong if it's happening now, is when you start saying politics or a certain political or ideological view is going to shape what the history of India is or the history of any country, it's wrong.
Absolutely.
And this is
the point, actually, you've led to the point that I wanted to make. I mean, I'm not a historian or an academic, right? But as a common person, I would say that all research should be based in academic institutions, whether universities or, research institutions. I don't understand the role of the government setting up a committee to look at India's history. I mean, if a government sets it up, obviously politics comes into play. It would be much better if it goes back to the universities or goes back to research institutions and let the right write its version of history, but from there, not from a government.
That is such a good point. I'm going to get everyone in. I think that's such a good point. One at a time.
It's the government, the HRD ministry, which will appoint the respective expert. It's not an NGO which will appoint the experts. Number one, please,
that's,
let's understand.
Problem.
Experts will come with different different thought processes. The experts will come from different universities. They'll not come from Timbuktu. They'll definitely come from different universities. Yeah. So let's understand, these experts will come out with a certain aspect of history, certain interpretation of history. I did not study anything about ancient India in my top textbooks. I studied it through a Sanjeev Sanyal book. Ask any people how much do they know about ancient India. We need to study our history, which does not begin only at 1857. It begins thousands of years ago. How much do we study about Mangal Pandey? How much do we study about Chandragupta Maurya? Zero. Studied from 6 to 12. Please,
it's all misinformation being
spread. Point number two, no,
absolutely.
Sir,
you were probably bunking your history classes.
I taught history. I
remember learning about Chandragupta Maurya.
Ask students how much do they know, compare study. Please ask them, compare them to a value.
Ask me if you know who Chandragupta Maurya was.
Ask them how much do they know compared to
how much do they study
Chandragupta Maurya vis-a-vis, say, studying the Mughal civilization, vis-a-vis studying
the freedom movement. That is the problem.
There's also the distance of time, right? So you would know more about Mahatma Gandhi, Jawaharlal Nehru, and Bhagat Singh because they were this century. Last century. Then the Mughals and back.
There's nothing to do with distance of time. Histories are written thousands of years ago. Other countries also study their history thousands of years ago.
Yes, let's hear him.
When we started studying history, we started from Chandragupta Maurya. That was 6th standard. Then 7th standard, it was all those 14th to 17th century. Eventually, 9th, it was
Vikram,
the Indian...
Vikram, you are denying me opportunity.
Are you telling me the amount of coverage which is given to the ancient civilization is equal to what is given to a Mughal civilization? I have studied history, boss. I've studied it till 11th. Okay. I've got maximum marks. So I'm not joking. It's a hard fact which I'm saying. We need to know more about that history.
I really want to ask a question as a student, basically, that, I read about ancient India and I know that there were really good things happening in ancient India and then there were really bad things also happening in ancient India. If I talk to somebody from right, I say that, you know, in ancient India, you know, girl used to wear very liberal clothes, you know, we used to show our body parts. Then they will be like, no, aisa to nahi tha, it was not like that.
I agree.
Yeah, no.
I agree.
I mean, they just say that, no, aisa nahi tha. It was not like that. We were all covered and all that. But if I talk something good about ancient India, that we had a lot of part in the GDP growth and all that in the ancient world, then my some professors who were from the left, they were like, oh God, you're talking like a Hindu jihadi. Like, I mean, why do we have to be so orthodox?
So you're coming back to my point. We should not have ideological positions on history.
Yeah. Yes.
You should study all aspects
Absolutely.
Of it.
Yes. Five second point.
This is the last comment, then I have to come back. Sorry, I'm fresh, all nearly out of time.
So my question is that, so the taxpayers are paying the money, you are building statues. When CPM is in power, they are building Lenin's statue. The BJP in power, they are building Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel statue. As the taxpayers are paying money for this historian play, and you will fight for history and all that things, and taxpayer will pay the money.
Is this question directed to me?
Vikram, don't demolish statues, just build them in the first place.
This was the exact question which was put to me on one of the channels. And what I said about when people said 2,500 crore rupees is being spent on Chhatrapati Shivaji and Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel's statue, I gave a very simple answer that these are national icons, admittedly national icons, who are going to inspire many generations to come, first. Secondly, these places are being developed as integrated tourist hub, which are going to generate economic activity and huge employment and are going to develop the entire area. So it is not merely about the statue. It is also about the development. Both the things are integrated here.
Can I ask you a question? Going by that same logic,
yes,
you should consider putting up a statue of Shah Jahan outside the Taj Mahal and making that into an integrated
Shah Jahan is not a national icon. I'm very sure. At least I don't
is
believe
the Taj
that he's
a national icon.
Who?
Is the Taj Mahal a national icon?
Taj Mahal is a national icon and I still believe it was not built by him. Yes. Yeah, you go. This is his joke. Go and find out. Please go and visit and see the culture there in the Taj Mahal.
5 seconds. Pradeep, I have to get to the bottom of this.
The
Taj Mahal was not built by Shah Jahan. It was built in Vedic times.
No, it was built in about 1000 AD. And it can be proved. And there are symbols of Hinduism all over the place. Go and visit and see that.
Hang on. Please. Let me know this.
Look at the symbols in the Lal Qila.
There is a mosque on one
side. Clear symbols inside, which was built by Tomar dynasty. There are symbols in Lal Qila.
The Lal Qila was also not built by
Shah
Jahan.
Yes, Vikram. I clearly say so.
I have very closely visited these places and seen the symbols
of Hinduism inside.
How about the Jama Masjid?
Vikram, that also.
It was known as Yamuna Mandir.
Sorry, Jama Masjid was known as Yamuna Mandir.
Let me finish. This is really fascinating. Let me tell you something about Islamic architecture.
Was the Jama Masjid built by...
I'll come to that. All our Indian temples were near the rivers. built on a very raised platform. It is not the Islamic architecture. Islamic architecture, the mosque you straight away enter, they are not built on high pedestal. These are the symbols.
No, one sec. Seeing as
please
we are
remember.
Seeing as we are discussing history, I'm just trying to understand how far this goes. So the Taj Mahal was actually not built by Shah Jahan,
yes,
but built by the Tomar dynasty.
Not Tomar.
1000 AD.
No. It was not Tomar, was
Redfort. Who built the Jama Masjid? That's what I want to know now.
Jama Masjid is a Yamuna Mandir. I have not.
The Jama Masjid
into
was a Yamuna Mandir.
Islamic architecture disproves that it's a mosque.
Vikram?
Hazrat Bal in Kashmir?
Vikram?
I don't know about that.
Hazrat Bal, you're not
sure. I don't know about
discretion from
the
Francois and Professor Raghi.
I'm sure he's intolerant to his view. He's questioning, yeah.
He's entitled to his view.
He's entitled. Tomorrow it might come out to be true. These guys have been monopolized. Mr. Habib does not have the only aspect of history. He might be true right now. Tomorrow he might be false. Come on, you have been tolerant to his view. Why are you making him laughing stock?
Everyone is.
He might tomorrow come out with the research which will be proof worldwide, and tomorrow it might come out.
So tomorrow in the NCRT textbooks in class 5, we should say that the Taj Mahal was actually built in 1000.
No, I'm not saying that. Let's debate.
And the Jama Masjid was a Yamuna temple.
No, I'm
entitled to my view.
No, you of course you're entitled to your view. I'm not debating
your
view.
I'm not
even back to with research.
I'm not saying Desh is not entitled to his view.
Of course he's entitled to his view.
And it has to be scientifically proven.
Absolutely, yes.
It has to be scientifically
proven. He can believe
proven.
Anything.
And yes. I'm willing to prove it.
I can believe, if I so want to, that I built the Rashtrapati Bhavan when I was
prove it.
Before I was born. Now I'm entitled to that belief. Absolutely. Now, should that be taught to people?
No, it should be
in
proved
school
scientifically.
Is a different question.
Absolutely,
it has to be proved scientifically.
It has to be proved scientifically.
Now, Professor Raghi, I mean, this is where I think we're getting at. Everyone is entitled to their own views and their own beliefs. Now, history has to be taught to, I'm actually particularly worried about young kids, because when you get to their age, presumably they can figure out for themselves what should be the case or not. When the government comes up and starts to decide what history should be, that's where the problem comes. Because you may well have, as I said, Desh is entirely entitled to his opinion, but if that's the version that's being taught to millions of school children, there are some who will contest it.
The history writing in India has been political, driven by the political ideology. Secondly, the moment you say that, the historian should come, but who good historian and bad historian? Who is going to define the good historian and the bad historian? If the historians, if Harbans Mukhiya writes, it's a good history. If Irfan Habib writes, it's a good history. But if Makhan Lal writes, it's a bad history. All historical projects, history writing projects earlier have been funded by the government of India. Or even in the state like West Bengal, when the chief minister, when the cabinet makes a directive that please don't try to highlight the vandalism and defilements of temple or destruction of temples during the medieval period, is it not the state intervention in the history writing? Why do you want to avoid it from the history book? If you have the guts, you write
no
the objective history and say, admit it, that yes, there was a vandalism during the medieval period.
Okay. Francois, if I can come to you now. Let's not put too a finer point to it. Everyone is entitled to their own viewpoints. And when the government comes in, it becomes a certain amount of sanction. Now, we just heard Desh espousing his views, which he is perfectly entitled to, that the Taj Mahal or the Red Fort, or for that matter, even the Jama Masjid, were not built by Islamic builders, but were built by earlier Hindu kings. Now, he's entitled to that view. If the government comes out and says that that is what the position is, there are some who will view it. The reason or the rationale for that is basically to say that the Muslims had nothing much to do with the building of India.
No, I would like to go away from this very controversial subject and come back to a very important topic, which is the Aryan invasion. Now, every historian, including Romila Thapar, who the foremost historian in India, the best known, now they have taken distance from the invasion theory, saying that it may not have happened. Yet this is the foundation of every Indian history book, that people from the West, white people, came and colonized the black people, the Dravidians, and imposed the Hindu religion and the caste system, that the Dravidians slowly went back to the South, This is a wrong theory. It's been proved wrong. And yet it is there in every history book of India. And it's dividing in India, between Dalits and Brahmins, between the Hindi and the Tamils and Dravidians, Now, tell me, is it not necessary then to rewrite Indian history in the light of this Aryan theory, which is totally wrong. You prove wrong, you know, scientifically prove wrong, you know, linguistically prove wrong, archaeologically prove wrong. There is an absolute need to rewrite Indian history according to what happened, not what, you know, the Marxists say or the, you know, the pro-Hindus say, according to history.
So, Pradeep, now let me get final closing comments from everybody. I want to come back to Desh again. Would you, for example, agree with what he said, that there is reason to doubt that the Taj Mahal was built by Shah Jahan, or the Red Fort, or the Jama Masjid?
See, doubt is the essence of science if we can prove it scientifically very well. Point. Let me make just three quick points.
Believe it or not?
Sorry?
You were
disputing. See, I would wait for scientific fact to come right now. I have not gone through the facts. I would ask Mr. Nigam if you could send me some certain amount of facts, then I would examine it.
I will.
Absolutely. So three quick points. There are gaps in the history. There's nothing like good history, good historian, bad historian. Politics has been a central part of history, and it is better for the government to appoint a committee rather than a group of NGOs deciding by themselves. We are living in a social media where if there are certain facts which are wrong, people would put counter history like Mr. Abhi. Point number one. Point number two, Subhash Chandra Bose was inspired by Hitler and Mussolini. It doesn't mean that you will have the statues of Hitler and Mussolini. So thinking that Bhagat Singh got inspired by Lenin, that too in the gallows, and all his work was done before he was in the gallows. So I think that is a wrong comparison.
He was not inspired by Lenin only in the gallows.
No, the writing was there. I have the exact tweet. Okay, fine. Whatever. So that comparison, anybody can get inspired by any individual. But it doesn't mean that you have mass murderers like Hitler, Mussolini, and say to an extent Lenin also, whose statues are there. Point number three, you should not destruct statues. It is a country where constitution and rule of law governs. Article section 144 was imposed. 14 people were arrested. So it's a done and dusted matter completely.
Okay, fine, we've heard you. Professor Habib.
I don't want to engage with that, sir, because he still says that he doesn't have facts for that.
Oh, so I have the facts and I can prove it scientifically. Oh,
it's not proved.
No,
it's not
proved.
It's not proved neither by you nor by anybody else. I'm not questioning your opinion. You have a right to what the views you hold.
But
I don't want to agree with that.
Facts correct.
Because I don't have the facts. The sort of facts you are talking about.
You may not have it. I have my facts correct.
If you start changing facts, of history, then that is a problem. If you start actually writing history on the basis of imagined history, imagined facts which didn't even exist, then that is a problem. Okay. If you engage with facts, fine. You bring in archaeological evidence, you bring in documentary other evidences, you bring in other issues, and then analyze them and produce a history with your perspective.
Okay.
Fine.
Okay. Aarti, just moving away from history, a lot of what is happening out here seems to be very similar to what unfortunately is also happening in journalism, you know, where you should theoretically be reporting what the facts are and letting people make up their mind.
But
it depends on
your
ideological position. If you believe in this, you will say, no, this is what the fact is. You believe in that ideological position, that's what the fact is. Facts are becoming fluid and perhaps never quite as much as is happening now.
No, you know, Vikram, two quick points. One is, I have a big problem with the government getting involved in this. I mean, you know, really, it should go back to academia. And it's not NGOs. I'm talking about universities and research institutions, not NGOs. Secondly, what has the right been doing all these years? If they have the facts, like this gentleman is saying, why haven't they put it out in the open? Why haven't they brought it out in the public? Why haven't they written books to counter the left view? Why is the left view dominating? Probably because they're just superior academics. And the right hasn't been able to throw up a superior enough academic to counter the left view of history.
Okay, valid point. Professor, Desh and Nigam. Actually, if you have the facts to substantiate this, you have the facts to substantiate that the Taj Mahal, it's been wrongly attributed to Shah Jahan. Same with the Red Fort, same with you know, the Jama Masjid, same with I don't know which other structures we could think about. Actually, she said you should write a book on that. And if you can actually prove
it'll
become the biggest bestseller since Harry Potter.
Let me respond.
Including Harry Potter.
It's not a laughing matter. Let me respond to you. The 70 years of paradigm that has been built and the mindset which has been changed will take time to change that mindset. It is an issue of mindset which needs to be changed. And
I think more than 70 years, the British also believed
British
that Shah Jahan built the Taj Mahal.
That's been a belief for the last
400 years.
This paradigm will change through findings which are there in public domain also. If you visit and see, you will yourself see as a layman also the signs of Hinduism which are there at these places.
I mean, to be honest, I've been to the Taj Mahal. I saw a mosque one side. I saw, you know, other things. I saw minarets up there and I saw calligraphy.
Four minarets.
Maybe my eyes are not as clean as yours.
Islamic architecture calls for only one minaret in a mosque. So not 4 minarets. Okay. So that's Islamic architecture. You therefore need to know about Islamic architecture and mosque before you need to come in. I have seen it, I have read it, I have visited these places, and I know about them. First. Secondly, it will take time to change the mindset because the younger generation has been taught and fed with this kind of history, and it will take time to change the mindset of people. Indian civilizational history has been downsized, downgraded, and post-dated. That is the difficulty of the Marxists.
Fine. Aditya Mukherjee, final thoughts from you.
We should leave history to the historians. History is a scientific discipline. It has very definite principles that have to be followed.
It's a science which is as complex
as the physical sciences. The only thing is it's more difficult because the variables are infinite. You cannot assume away anything. So it is scientific. And I was surprised you said I would disagree with Francois. I find I agree with him a lot today. He was right in saying that after independence, what we were faced with was essentially colonial historiography. And colonialism-backed communal historiography. And what has happened in the 50s and 60s and 70s was some of the finest scholars in the world, some of whom happened to be leftists, some of whom, not all of whom, Romila Thapar is not a Marxist, to give you an example, and she is a historian from JNU. They wrote some very fine history, which did away with an over-glorification of any period, which did away with trying to hide things that happened in the past, like deleting the fact that in the ancient past also there was slavery of a kind with the Dalits. These passages were deleted by the NDA government in 2002. Saying that you can't have this, this glorification that we did everything. We invented, as you heard, we built, of course, everything.
I believe Romila Thapar was a
and
leftist.
Pushottam, you believe wrongly.
No, Pushottam, she taught in my college.
Can I finish? Let me just finish. After all, I also know the business of history. I'm saying that rather than have lawyers, rather than have politicians decide what our history was, declare with certainty that, Shahjahan didn't build this or the other, or that the Kaaba was actually a shivling, or that Christianity was Krishnaniti, and the Vatican was the Vatica. This is all written by Pushottam Nagesh Oak, the person he is quoting. He is their main guru. No, he's not a historian. So let historians write history.
Okay.
Let them write it scientifically, not glorifying anything, pointing out all that is wrong. And that is what a civilization is all about.
We have just enough time for a last word from you, Professor Raghi. Last very quick word.
Vikram, the debates in history will continue in times to come. For the simple reason that there is no the history or there is no a history, there are multiple histories.
Absolutely.
Even the oral histories have now been recognized properly. So you will have to understand that the earlier histories which have been written by the British, that British historiography has been continued by even the Marxist historians.
No,
so
that
and
is
that
wrong.
Is that is the reason really that I say that the Aryan invasion theory.
It was the Aryan invasion theory which was used by the British to prove a point in the British Parliament that they
have as much right to stay in India as the Hindus, because Hindus, since Hindus came from outside, we also came from the outside, and therefore, if the Hindus have to stay in India, right to stay in India. Similarly, we have the right to stay in India.
Whom are you saying does not have the right to stay in India? Sorry, I'm trying to understand the point you're making. Who does not have the right to stay in India?
Muslims and Christians.
He did not.
You're saying Muslims and Christians should not have the right to stay in India.
What I'm saying that the history is used for the. History is used for the political reason, and the Aryan invasion. Whether there was an Aryan invasion or not, surely all Indians should have the right to stay in India. Or are you saying they shouldn't? The right to stay in India, not to vacate India.
Vikram. I think he's admitted, Vikram.
No, please.
That they are rewriting
history.
We are
now heading in directions. I'm not even sure which direction we are heading.
That's why there are gaps. Everybody is admitting there are different organizations, experts.
You don't need an Aryan invasion or other theory to say that all Indians have the right to stay in India.
That is obvious, Vikram.
That's one level worse than Trump to say, oh, because you're not historically familiar.
Every Indian has a right to be in India.
I don't think anybody's saying that.
That they are rewriting history because they want to prove that this was a Hindu Rashtra 12,000 years
Nobody
ago.
Nobody said that.
And therefore, that is objective.
Who said that? One main leader of the committee has said that. Committee said there are gaps in history. We need to fill the gaps. Experts will be there.
Let Vikram.
They only said that.
You know something? We're not headed anywhere.
To the experts, one historian.
One sentence from you, one sentence, Professor Habib, then I have to end it.
Now he was saying about P.N. Oak. I only request the audience and the viewers, please read Stephen Knapp. If you actually need to go down into the history and the research that has been done.
Okay, fine.
Read
Stephen Knapp, read Savit Stephen Sanyal, everything. I have a final word to say on this before you go and write your exams based on all this.
But yeah. what I've been saying, I've said earlier also somewhere, the sort of issues Mr. Nigam has raised. You know, you talk about medieval India, you question everything. You question Taj Mahal, you question individuals, you question emperors, you question Akbar. You know, Aurangzeb has been questioned, for rightly so, for many reasons. But you question emperors and buildings and structures, which actually were not questioned till now properly. P.N. Oak used to do it. Nobody took him seriously. But now you are doing it from a government platform. You are questioning events like Haldighati. You are trying to reverse that.
Why are you worried?
Ladies and gentlemen, I have to leave it here right now.
If somebody is coming
this
out
is a debate that is going to continue to rage for quite some time. So I think we're going to be back here having another big fight on this at some point. We'll wait for some of those facts. And I want to also urge Deshat Nigam to send me the facts. I'd love to read those studies.
I just have one small request
to any young people who are about to give their board exams in history or anything else. Do read your textbooks such as they are right now. Please don't go off and write something like, I mean, any of the stuff which you're hearing out here in the last 20 minutes and saying, haan bhai, maine ye likha hai, maine big fight mein dekha tha, because then I don't want to take the responsibility for that. So while we are debating what history is, please stick to your prescribed textbooks. That's my only request to you right now. That's it on this episode of The Big Fight. We will be back next week. Bye for now.